Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Thank you to the leadership here that invited me to come and bring the word of God this morning. It's such an honor and privilege. I never take that lightly. And yeah, but I felt God this morning put in my heart that share my testimony. And I had something that I prepared, but I felt this morning God says, no, I think you need to share your testimony. I felt God that he needs to do something this morning to bring freedom. As we were praying this morning, I felt God saying he wants to bring freedom in many areas of our lives this morning. And I'm really grateful to God. I'm under the leadership. I don't go by myself. I always say I'm not the fly by night. But I'm under the leadership team led by Dwayne and Lauren. And they send their love, and they are praying for us as we are here this morning. And I'm glad that you said all that about me this morning. I just, in my testimony, I like to be vulnerable and like to show you that even if you have been serving God for so many years, there's some struggles in our life that you go through, but God helps us through it if we allow him and to help us, to walk with us. Not working like we know it all, but working like, Lord, where are you taking me this time? And what you want to teach me this time? I just want to start by reading this psalm, because this morning my testimony heading is, Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. My glasses, otherwise I will read something that I don't know what it is. I'm going to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10 and to 13. It's David's prayer. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel. From everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. He is the great God. Great is our Lord. My testimony of the greatness of God, as Doug was telling you, my husband and I were married for 32 years. And we served God together. We were everywhere. We traveled to many places. And he had the passion for God and for making sure that people get into the kingdom of God. He had that heart. And he had a passion for the Great Commission, which is my passion. I hope it's all our passion, the Great Commission. And I remember when he went to Namibia, he went there during the time of COVID, and he said, Love, I feel I need to go to Namibia. COVID or no COVID, I feel God is calling me to go there. But I feel the Lord had an appointment with him because he knew that it was almost the time for him to go home, to call him home. But he needed to do something that was in his heart, that was burning in his heart. So he went there and he preached in Namibia 7 days, 7 preaches. And while he was there, then he contacted COVID, and then God was so gracious to us. He made it possible for him to come home, and then as soon as he got home, he was home for 5 days, and he was gone to be with the Lord. But the Tuesday before that, in the evening, that's when I thought he was feeling better, and we were sharing. He was so full, and he was sharing about what God has done in Namibia, and God, how God has changed the lives of people, how a lot of people gave their life to the Lord. And he was so happy, and I went to bed. We prayed with him after sharing with me a lot of stories, naming a lot of people. I was so shocked how many names of people he knew in Namibia, and he wasn't living there. That's the love he had. It showed we need to have the love for the people of God, even the people that are out there. And he shared that the way the Lord worked in Namibia. And then we prayed, and I went to bed. I was excited, and I thought, God, there's something that you are doing. He's getting better. Hallelujah. Thank God. Little did I know that it was the last time that we had a good conversation with him. And the next thing, the following morning, it went so quickly, couldn't breathe, and he was gone. That experience taught me something. I spoke to him the day before, we were happy, and then the following day I couldn't talk to him, he was gone. It told me that there is no time to wait and to waste. There's no time to waste. God has called us on a mission to go and preach the gospel. There is no time to sit down and lick our wounds and think about this person has hurt me. This one has left me out. Why am I not part of this? A lot of things that we can complain about. The people are dying out there. The word of the Lord says, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So the Lord wants us to go and preach the gospel. But now, like I said, I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to share my journey throughout the whole thing. And I've preached, like I was talking to you, we heard everything. I preached, but when that thing happened, it was hard. It was a pain that I couldn't explain to anyone. My life changed altogether. When he was lying down and he couldn't talk to me, I felt, Lord, how my life has come to an end. Listen to me. I said, Lord, my life has come to an end. I don't know what you're going through right now yourself. There are some things that the challenges that you're facing, and you're feeling that you're insignificant. There's nothing else you can do in your life anymore. That time I felt I was useless, and my time, if my husband is gone, it means that's it. But the Lord said, no, 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 it's not over with you. I have work for you to do. You need to go out there and tell people about me. Tell me, tell them about me. Tell them about Jesus. How he loved them, how he died for them on the cross, how he rose from the grave, how he went up to heaven, and how he's praying for them even now in heaven. He's a faithful God, and he loves them. He is a powerful God. And now when my journey started, I started weeping and wailing, weeping, and my mom came. And she was with me. The thing that I've been preaching about, I completely forgot at that time. I'm going to read my story, reading through the Acts chapter 16. My story is related to that story. Because when I was in bed with my mom said to me, I've got a hymn next to my bed. My mom said to me, bring that hymn Let us worship God. You know, she said it in the wrong time when I was wailing and weeping. And I said, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? I don't think I can do that. But you know what? David cried out to God in Psalm 51, verse 15. He said, oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praises. I thought of that and I cried out to God. You remember when Jesus, when people were sick, he used to come to them and say, what do you want me to do for you? And he'll come to the blind person and say, what do you want me to do for you? And I'm sure the people around were thinking, how? What's wrong with this guy? Can't he see this man is blind? You know, I think Jesus wanted that person to respond himself and say, Jesus, I need help. I need help. You only get help when you realize that you need help. And this man, when he cried out to God, I said, I need help. I need to see. I am blind. I need to see. Jesus healed him. So this is what I did. I extended my hand. I cried out to God, Lord, help me right now. I'm going to read this scripture. Acts 16, verse 22 to 31. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. You know, I felt I was emotionally stripped and beaten. I was flogged when everything happened. You know, this morning the word came that God is, Jesus died for on the cross, and he died for our sickness. He died for our pain. This is where I was. And I knew that I needed to respond to him. And I felt I was stripped, I was beaten, I was flogged, I was fastened. The Bible is talking about they fastened their feet. But I felt even my arms were fastened. I couldn't lift them up at that time. I was in such pain. But I believe that my mom reminded me something that I knew. She said to me, you remember Paul and Silas? That's when I went to the scripture and I read it. You remember how they were beaten? You remember? You remember what happened to them? They were worshiping God. Let us worship God now. When I cried out to God, then he helped me. I started worshiping God with my mom, and I worship. She reminded me to move my eyes from my pain. There's some people working with pain. They are looking in their pain, but they are not lifting their eyes to Jesus. We need to lift our eyes to Jesus. And I worship with my mom, and we worship. I don't know what happened. As we were worshiping, when I read that, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken, and at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chain came loose. Everybody's chain came loose. When I was worshiping God, I felt my chain fall loose. And we worshiped God on my bed with my mom for over an hour. Over an hour. And you know what I felt? My chain came loose. I felt God touch me supernaturally. Great is the Lord. Only God can do that. Great is the Lord. I don't know what is binding you, the chains you are in right now. But great is the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He will do it for you. Then verse 27 says, the jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Verse 34, it says, the jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. How amazing is that? If we allow God to break the chains that are holding us, we heard, it says, everybody's chain came loose. God uses you for breaking the chains in other people's lives. He uses you. And this jailer is the one that was tying them, instructed them, but now he's the one that's coming, says, "What must I do to be saved?" Because what? He saw the greatness of God. I always get naughty with this one. Like, it's just a naughty joke. I mean, it's not in the Bible, okay? It's just, I always say, you know, when the prisoners were there and sitting there, and then when the doors flew open, you know what? In South Africa, you wouldn't find them sitting there, you're all gone. But this was a different story because God was in control. And, you know, it was amazing. I was saying the other day, I said, maybe there was the one little one that was trying to do something. He saw the doors open and maybe he tried to escape. And then I think the Lord took him, said, "Hey, Wena, you sit here because I want to show my power. No one is moving here. I am in control. I am a powerful God. I rule in power. I am the great God." So this man saw that and he gave his life to the Lord. God wants to use you. God uses anyone. If God can use me, he can use you. God wants to use anyone who is willing. These guys, they were just worshiping God. They were singing hymns and praying and worshiping God. And the prisoners were watching them. And then as they were watching them, the power of God showed in the prison, the earthquake, and everyone saw the power of God and everyone was freed. So if we allow God to use us, there's a lot of people that are going to receive freedom. Let us be bold. Let us be bold and do whatever God has commanded us to do. Let us just do what God has commanded us to do. If you are faithful in that, God will use you and he will change lives through you. Don't I miss him, my husband? Yes, I miss him a lot. I miss him so much. But you know what? When he was going to Namibia, I want to explain that God has taken away the pain. He healed me completely. Completely. Because he's a great God. He can do the impossible. He's a great God. And he healed me. And then when he went to Namibia, or went to Zambia without me, you know, to explain the thing of pain, how he took it away from me. When he was gone to Namibia, I would miss him a lot, like I'm missing him now, but I had no pain when I was missing him. You know why? Because I knew he was coming back home. He was coming back home. Now that he's gone, I think he's just gone longer. I don't know when I'm going to see him. I'm missing him, but I'm missing with no pain because God has healed me. What is helping me is the hope that one day I'll be in heaven too. And I'll see him and I will worship my God with him in heaven. Right now he's worshiping God and He's celebrating every day and worshiping God. Myself, I will join him one day and say, yes, I'll worship God with him. That's the hope that I carry. That's a hope that's helping me as I walk this journey. And you know what? After 5 months, my husband was gone. Then something else happened. My son that we adopted, that God gave us this wonderful son we adopted when he was 11 months, called Elijah. And this wonderful man was such a beautiful young man. And he just loved Jesus. And then one day he said to me, Mommy, he was in the kitchen and he said, Mom, he was crying actually. And I said, son, he was a big boy. He was like, these boys, they don't cry easily. Do you? No, they don't. He didn't cry easily. But that day he was sitting in the kitchen and he was crying from inside. And I looked at him, I said, my boy, why are you crying? He said, Mom, the Lord has challenged me. Because the week before that, we went to a place and someone preached about forgiveness. And he said, Mom, God has been challenging me this week that I need to forgive my biological mom. He was abandoned. He didn't know who was his mother was and his father was. And he said, God has challenged me because I have been asking myself, when my mom left me on the side of the road, didn't she love me? And I said, my boy, God loves you, and I'm sure your mom loved you. We don't know why she left you there, but I'm sure she loved you. Maybe she had a reason to leave you there, and maybe she was praying that someone will come and rescue you. He said, I didn't see, Mom, also that I haven't been grateful to God because I have been dwelling on this thing of being abandoned, but I didn't see that God gave me a family and God gave me another chance to live because I would have died on the side of the road. I just want to talk to, so I feel God wants to speak to someone here today. You're carrying something that is pain and you're carrying unforgiveness. I feel God wants to deliver you from that today, from the unforgiveness. Because what I said to him, I said, my boy, when you forgave your mom today, or whatever day you forgave her, you started living your life. You're grabbing hold of your life. You've been holding yourself. Because I heard someone say one day, if you don't forgive, you're like someone who's drinking a poison and hoping someone else will die. You're drinking a poison, you are the one that's going to die if you don't forgive. Please, I beg you, by the mercies of God, can you release that thing? Can you release it? Forgive that person. It can be in the family. If you're caring something about your family member, please be bold enough. Even if you feel that you haven't done anything wrong, go yourself and sort out that thing so that you can grab hold of your life. I feel God is talking to someone here this morning about that. Please take a step and sort it out. God has a purpose for you. He's got something for you that he wants to use you, but you're holding yourself back by holding unforgiveness. The Lord was there with us when my boy went down to the south coast, and he was. It's a long story, but I'll cut it. He was swimming, and then he was taken by the riptide in the south coast. That Sunday, I spoke to him. That's why I'm saying those stories are the same to me. It's like a wake-up call for me. He sent me a message Sunday night and said, Mom, I'll see you tomorrow morning. Tomorrow we're leaving. He told me what time they're going to leave. But the following day, instead of seeing him, I saw someone knocking at my door. And they came and told me, my son has been sucked in by the sea. And I wept and I wept. But I felt God say to me, because then somebody came, Dwayne and the others, some of you know Dwayne and the others from the church. We went down the south coast and we went and looked for him. We looked and looked, we couldn't find him. You know, my daughter stood there. The sea is so huge. You never know how huge the sea is until you look for someone. We stood there, we didn't know where to start. And we were sitting there in the afternoon after the searching and everything. And I felt God say to me, you know what I taught you in your first pain? I taught you, don't look into your pain, look to me. I felt God say to me, worship me now on this beach. So I felt, okay. And he put a song in my heart. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the grave, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I sang that song. Everybody else sang it with me. And we sang it along the beach. But I felt that God was showing me that even if you're going through this, I am still in control. I'm still the Lord. Every knee will bow before me. I'm still the Lord. And so I went home after that. It was some couple of days we went home. And I was asking God, I was crying out to God. I was saying, Lord, please, Lord, help me. When I said he was there with me all the time, when you read in Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Your spirit. Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle in the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. The Lord was holding me fast. He was there with me in that situation. I was there in my room one day. It wasn't in the evening, it was during the day. Excuse me. And I was kneeling in my room and I was asking him, because since then I said, okay, Lord, you said I need to worship you. Yes, I've been worshiping you. I've been worshiping you and you helped me. I'm worshiping you, but now please, I need closure for my boy. I need closure. So I was crying to God, closure, closure. Every day I kneel, closure. Every time I'm in my kitchen, Father, I need closure for my boy. I need to know where my boy is. And then one day when I was kneeling in my room, I felt God say to me, he just caught my attention. He said, you know what? You haven't given it to me. And I said, how? I have been singing it. I can even create a song with this word closure. And he said to me, no, you haven't given it to me. And you know what I did? I said, I was kneeling down. I just lifted both my hands to the Lord as a posture. Say, Lord, I give the closure of my boy to you. I hand it over to you. And as I did that, the words of this scripture happened in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. At that time, when I was kneeling down, I felt the peace of God come upon me. And I just said, thank you, Lord. Why did I take so long before I hand you this thing? There's something that you're holding on. It's bothering you day and night. Hand it over. Hand it over to Jesus. handed over. The peace of God, the Lord restored my joy that time when I was kneeling down. And you know what? Before that, when you were asking me, has your son ever found? Because people were asking me all the time. It was so painful in my heart. But since I had that encounter with Jesus in my room, when you ask me, was your son ever found? No, but it's not my problem. It's in his hands. I've handed it over to him, and I don't want to take it back. Because I don't want to go through that thing again. I'm working with him. He's been holding my hand. It's been an amazing walk with Jesus. I've been having an amazing walk with Jesus. He's restored my joy. And he can do it for you. There is this song, that old song that the oldies like me will know it. As I come to a conclusion, it says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. It's all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So if you do that, the Lord will help you. He will take away your pain. He's a faithful God. He's always there with us, offering to carry it for us. He's always there waiting. We only need to respond. He's the omnipotent God. He's an all-powerful God. He can do it. There is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing too hard for Jesus. He can do it for you. Whatever you are going through, he can do it for you. He has limitless power. But another thing is this. We cannot put him in a box. He works in his own way. He doesn't have only one way he's working. He's got many ways that he works. He can heal in different ways. For me, he healed me supernaturally. I walk as a healed whole person because the Lord has touched me. But some people, like a person that has been at the doctor's and they find there's a lump in you, and then they say, Come back next week. We need to do an operation on you. And then you go back next week, they check you, the lump is gone. That's a miracle. God has performed a miracle in you, and he's healed you. When the doctors don't know what happened, because when God does it, people don't understand it. Even when he healed me, people don't understand. They're still asking me, it takes one day at a time. No, it doesn't take one day at a time. The Lord has touched me and healed me. For me, he healed me. But the other person, you'll go back and the doctor still has to do your operation. He uses people. They've been talking about hope counseling. The church, we've got hope counseling. We've got grief share. We've got Exodus. Those are the ministries that help people to be delivered. But the Lord, if you go to the doctor, it doesn't mean that the doctor is healing you. It doesn't mean when you go that the people are helping you are healing. It's God that's doing the work. The doctor only creates an atmosphere for you to be healed, but he does the healing. So whichever way God works, you can't say, okay, if you're going to the doctor, you're not a Christian. No. Or you can say, if you go to a doctor, you're not a Christian, but if you just get healed, there's nothing like that. You know, like we need to understand that God is not supposed to be put in a box because he's got his own, the way he works. He works different ways. So he still needs people to Sometimes he uses people, not he needs people. He doesn't really need us. It's just a favor that he's using us. He uses people sometimes to untie us. You remember Lazarus? The Lord would have just said, "Lazarus, come out," and the cloth come up. The cloth come. No, he didn't do that. He said, "Untie him." So sometimes people untie you. You know, my late husband used to say, sometimes when they untie you, you know, it's not nice. Eh? He used to say, and then they go, and then you go, ash, they cut you with this, because they're trying to untie. They're trying to, when they cut you with the scissor, and then they touch your flesh, it's not that they hate you. They are just trying to help you. It was a problem. It was just a mistake. So sometimes when they hurt you, it's just a mistake. They were not intending to hurt you. Don't walk around with that head. I remember Daniel that led NCMI team some years ago. He said one time, when you know the longest time we can stay, we can have a head, we can live with a head, it's 30 seconds. 30 seconds. You need to deal with it straight away. So